Hello and welcome to the Dan Assor Show, inspiring and insightful conversations with event professionals. The Dan Assor Show is supported by headline sponsor Jonas Event Technology, an award-winning event registration supplier for organisers of trade shows, exhibitions and conferences. The show's official venue sponsor is conference and exhibition venue Business Design Centre, which has just become B Corp certified, showing its high standards of social and environmental impact. The show is also supported by TF Connect, Tarsus Group, Terrapin and 19 Group. Hello and welcome to Josh White. Josh is the co-founder and global brand director at Can O Water. How are you doing today?
I'm very good, Dan. Thanks for having me on here.
Obviously, you're the global brand director, so you're right on brand. You've got a great graphic behind you, so people can't miss what's going on and who you're representing today. Josh, just to start off with, I'm sure they're few and far between, but it's always useful. For those that aren't aware, can you sort of just bring the brand, the product to life and your role within the business?
Of course. So in 2014, myself and my two best friends went to Thailand and came across huge amounts of plastic pollution. Wasn't something that we had ever seen before. Environmentalism, plastic pollution wasn't on our agenda, but very soon became a part of our lives and something that we wanted to tackle and create something that made a difference. Can O Water was born in 2015 as the world's first can of water in steel and sparkling. And well, actually, I'll take that back. We weren't the first sparkling water, but we were the first still water in the world. But we were the first people that were very much creating this brand that went up against the big plastic giants that were, I guess you could say, lying to consumers with this big sort of friendly smile. But actually, on the other side, there's this devastating impact that plastic is causing on the environment. For the past 7.5 years, I've been everything really within the business, from the floor sweeper and the pallet builder to sales operations. Most recently, for the past sort of 3.5 years, the marketing director. And now I've handed in the reins of marketing director and I have become the global brand director, concentrating on the way that we look, the way that we feel, making sure that the brand is represented correctly and the launch of the US.
Launch of the US. Exciting. Thank you for that. I'm sure you never get tired of telling the story.
No, and it's always different, by the way. It's always different. It's never the same.
So water in a can still, I guess, somewhat goes a little bit against convention, you know, even though you've done a great job in, you know, educating the market. So I guess it's super important to get people to experience the product, right?
Possibly. For sure, definitely.
And perhaps events are a good place to allow people to do that. My first question, because we're going to talk about events and how Can O Water use them, a general question, why do you think events are a good opportunity for a brand like you, yourselves?
Events have been a pivotal part of Can O Water. And I don't think that Can O Water would be where it is without events. And I'll explain why. So when we first started, and you hit the nail on the head, Dan, with what you just said, very unconventional, very different, very foreign, very strange to some people. People take their first sip of a can of water and they're expecting to try a fizzy drink or you know, something sweet. So very, very, very different. And one of the hardest things in the first sort of 6 to 8 months was no one was taking us seriously, because people had only experienced drinking water out of plastic or glass, and it's very difficult to change people's perception of something. So how do you change the minds of the consumer while you're trying to build this distribution platform where you're trying to also change the minds of like your buyers and these types of people? And the best testing bed for us was to get cans in hands. And it's always been that. So anything from standing outside of a train station at 6 o'clock in the morning, handing out cans to people, getting the weirdest looks that you can ever imagine. But I'll go into why that was good, to doing like, you know, an influencer event, which is like the type of thing that we would do, where I would very much, I headed up that and I messaged a lot of the influencers, and I would find people that understood why we were doing what we were doing, because that was very, very key. 99% of people thought that we were crazy, but then there would be like a few people that sort of that got it and understood it. And one of the first events that we ever did was London Fashion Week, which is a big event for obviously one of your first events. But we relied on people that understood our mission and why we were doing what we were doing. And the guys at London Fashion Week really understood why we were doing it. And, you know, sustainability was something that has been spoken about in the industry for a long time. But everyone's been a bit nervous about jumping away from their big sponsorship deals that they had with maybe, you know, the bigger plastic companies. And that year we saw huge sort of interest from celebrities like David Gandy, Ellie Goulding, Tiny Temper, Dougie from the band McFly. You know, these guys were people that actually cared about sustainability and wanted to make a difference. So what we found with events is, while most of the people that we're speaking to think that we're mad, if we can create a movement, and a movement doesn't, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day type of mentality. If we can start, we started with the three of us. If we can then find 10 people, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, these tastemakers that were talking about it and care about it and had a voice, and events in the very, very early days were actually the only thing that we could do. We'll obviously go into the expense side of events, which is a very, very different world, and where I probably in our first 5 years, even to now, we probably could have spent 500 million quid if we had gone with all of the...
I was going to ask you, Josh, coming on to that point is, and it's interesting and really good, I guess, for my audience to hear what you said and how positive you are about events. And actually, events is a broad church, as you say. It could be an event to you guys is standing outside the tube station, or it could be a big trade show or a big festival. And they've all got their different place in the schedule. So I guess there's so many events to choose from, right? People now approach you. They think you're a good fit. They want a commercial partnership, let's be honest as well. Others you want to get into. How do you choose, when I say you and the team, the business, which events you decide to participate in? And I guess referencing, you know, things like target audience, whether consumer, whether they align with your values or trade shows, what's the sort of process that you go through?
Yeah, so it's different to what it was in the early days, because in the early days it was sort of like, it was sort of based on a bit of a, like, founder opinion, in all honesty. And we got it right a lot of the time because we know our brand better than anyone. But then as you get bigger and you become a bit more of a mass market product, you know, it's a lot more than just the founder's opinion. Sure. Even though the founders have the DNA in the brand, you need to raise awareness across the board. And I think that, you know, today we've got a really, really great team that sort of, I think that something that's always baffled me is the amount of interest that comes in through our marketing emails, you know, from some enormous brands. Yeah. And it's very, very difficult to say no to such big brands because it's so flattering. But one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got was, it's okay to say no. Yeah. And when you actually are able to say no and you say yes to the things that are actually going to make a difference to your business, you start to feel very empowered, because we've said yes to a lot of things just because it's cool or this or that, and it's done nothing. One of the main things that we look at are scalability, and that could be in all different areas of the business, cans in hands. It could be, as an example, We Are the Water backstage at the summertime in Jingle Bell Ball. Every single celebrity has a can of water on stage. All the band have a can of water on stage as they walk from their green rooms, which has can of water in, all the way to just before they go on the stage. They've got a massive can of water stand, or like an IKEA type unit that they get their can of water from. So things like that, it's like an instant yes, because where a lot of brands spend a lot of money on these things, we've built a really, really great brand where people actually, you know, they want to be a part of that, and they want can of water to be a part of their event, which is saying that we've, you know, done a great job to create. I think that we've got a decision tree which we use.
Everyone has a decision tree.
No, we don't always use it, but we base certain things on it. You know, obviously sustainability is an enormous part of what we do. we did Board Masters this year, we did Boomtown last year. And, you know, one of the main reasons we did these events is because they're trying to go plastic free. Obviously, there's a two-pronged approach here. There is free stock, and then there is obviously a commercial partnership where they buy stock. And we might do even further where it's free stock and paid stock. It all sort of differs and depends on how much, you know, if a big fashion show or an influencer event, or it's something that's going to get us out there, if they want a case or two, you know, and we believe that it's beneficial for the brand, we're probably just going to, you know, probably just going to do it. If it's something that is, it doesn't fit our audience values, or it doesn't fit our audience target market, we're probably not going to, you know, we're not going to do it, because as you can imagine, we have a lot of people coming in. We very much target like an 18 to 34 year old consumer, more heavily indexed in the 18 to 24 year old sort of side of it.
So lots of festivals, obviously, like
a lot of the festivals. Yeah, exactly. It isn't just, I think that's, you know, that's some people just associate us with the music side of things, and actually it really isn't. Like we do some really, really interesting stuff, whether it be, you know, things with the BBC or ITV, opportunities within sport, not as I said, not just music. Food is absolutely enormous. You know, something that we work very, very hard on is like lunchtime occasions. So you know, that sort of lunchtime occasion where people, obviously plastic bottles are rife and people are going to buy a plastic bottle, that could be in your, you know, away from events, that could be like your bakery to your event village type of thing. It varies, but I wouldn't say it's early days, because we're a scale up brand, but we sort of, there are rules, but rules are meant to be broken if it's broken for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Hi, I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Just going to take a brief pause to tell you a little bit about the Dan Assel Show headline sponsor, Jonas Event Technology. Jonas Event Technology, or JET, are an award-winning supplier of event registration dedicated to providing event organizers with a seamless registration experience and excellent customer service, as proven by their current NPS score of 71. JET provides a full registration solution for trade shows, exhibitions, and conferences, removing the stress of event registration so that event organizers can focus on making their next event the best yet. Visit jonas.events for more information.
Yeah. And you do an event, or you're booked in to do an event, in whichever way, shape, or form, you want to obviously maximize your opportunity there. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. And also when you come off the back of it, I guess you want to sit down and go, that's been a success, right? I mean, sometimes it's a bit gut, you know, as you say, it's a gut feeling, this is the right thing, so you don't overthink it. But others, especially, I guess, when you're investing some money and resource into it, you want to understand how it's worked. So you might want to do it again next year. How do you set about measuring a success of an event? You know, let's take, for example, I saw you guys at Taste in London. I was down there with my youngest daughter, who had, I sent you a little video having a cat. It was that moment you spoke about, because she looked at it and I'd never seen it. So is that success? You know, how do you measure it? Is it success, like these days, people posting on social media unintentionally, you don't know it's happening? Give us a flavor, maybe just that event or any other event, how you sit down after and say that was really good.
For sure. The difficulty for a non e-commerce brand and a product like water, which isn't a high value product, is you have to work out the way to measure success because there is no formula to measure success, really, unless you've got KPIs for that particular event. Like we want to get out X amount of cans, and we've been doing a lot of brand health studies, and we can see that the brand is growing. We believe that's from, you know, we'll do that every sort of 6 months, and we will attribute that to the things that we've done within that 6 months. That could be events, that could be, you know, digital media, social media stuff, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that where it's funny. What I always attribute a lot of success to word of mouth.
Sure.
And when I always see when more people are talking about Cano Water, whether it comes in through trade or it comes in through, you know, even people like yourself sending me pictures as an example.
Yeah.
We know probably 6 months later when something's been done right, because we'll have like an influx of people sort of talking about us, and more people are ordering because there's a little bit more sort of talkability. Sure. Events has always been at the heart of Cano Water, as I said at the beginning, and we've always done more. So I can sort of safely say that events have been a great awareness piece for Cano Water, but it is very, very difficult to measure success, especially when you have to give out serious amounts of stock, especially as a water. We'll obviously talk about activations, which is where the cost obviously comes into things. But trade shows, as an example, is a different side, because you can actually measure success very quickly, because you can obviously lunch taste isn't really a trade show, even though there's a lot of trade there. Yeah. But a trade show like lunch, which is what we're doing in 2 weeks' time at XL, you know, we'll be taking people's details, we'll be following up with those leads, we'll very much be able to see whether any of the leads have actually sort of come into fruition, and if people have bought Cano Water, and therefore you can see whether it's a success. And the good thing about one like that is you can spend decent money and you only need one or two big accounts to really pay it off. And I think that's quite a comfortable thing to do, even though we actually don't do as many sort of trade shows, you know, throughout the year.
I guess what we're saying is, and it's the same with a lot of the marketing, you know, attribution, and there's lots of talk about last click attribution and whether it's come from Google, whether it's come from word. I mean, that's been going on for years and years and years, and everyone's been coming up with methodologies to substantiate their view. Who knows if we get there, but you know, as you say, some of it is gut, and then overall has the brand value, you know, the brand lifted, the sales lifted over a period of time. Some of my audience are from the trade show world, so I'm interested to explore a bit further what you just said. And I think, you know, before we started, you said that you'd been at this particular trade show lunch for a few years, and you've sort of grown your presence there. Talk to me about what you see to be the benefits of being at a trade show.
I think there are a lot of benefits. I think that one thing is you have to stand out.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you won't get the full benefits if you don't stand out. And I think that one thing that I've always been very passionate about at Cano Water, and I think this is where that founder-led mentality is, and where when you don't have that, it can become very corporate and just slip into, like, you know, just being like everyone else. Is if you want to experience the full benefits at a trade show where you've most likely got serious amounts of competitors and you have only got a minute to talk to people before they forget about you, is you've got to be remembered and you've got to do things differently. So I think the Cano Water has always had this, we call it this don't bottle it energy, where we try and make as much noise as possible. And even though at sometimes, especially in the early days, it might be a bit distasteful, it got people talking about us.
Right.
And I think that, you know, small little things like, everyone would be very smartly dressed. We were dressed in like full Cano tracksuits and different sort of, you know, outfits in the early days. And we would actually create an outfit for a trade show so we sort of stood out. We've always tried to do things a bit differently with music or inject energy into certain things. And I think that it's super, super important that to not get scared of doing the same thing and slipping into the same thing that everyone else does, because that is where the energetic brand that you've created just starts to fall flat. And in all honesty, I've seen it happen with so many brands. So I think from a beneficial perspective, as long as you're standing out, you can gain those benefits. You can meet people that you would never have, you know, I mean, obviously one of the main things is you've got some great buyers that are going to be there that you've been trying to email for the past however long and you can't get in front of them, and they're there. And that's where that standout bit is super important. But also it's just you can get that energy out there in front of people that, you know, you, everyone likes to think that everyone can see their brand. And the truth is that very few, you know, we've been doing Can of Water for 7 years, and, you know, I still speak to people in the industry and they don't see anything that we do. And it is with very little budgets compared to the big companies, you know, you've got to be resourceful and stand out, and you've got to be sort of in these people's sort of faces. So yeah. I think that it's very, very beneficial. You have to follow up with the leads, obviously, and you have to push harder than you've ever pushed before. But as I said before, the main benefit is that it pays for itself. Whereas the difficulty of other events and putting money into other events is you could spend $100,000 on an activation and it does nothing. Yeah. And that's the thing that's always sort of scared me, is that how do you measure success then when you've put a big chunk of your budget as a small brand into, you know, a big festival where you don't know whether it's gonna create brand awareness, or you don't know. And I've seen it happen so many brands where in their first few years they spend all their budget, and for the next 3 years they are like they're in a lot of trouble because they thought that was the right, whereas we never did that. We did it very resourcefully. We used cans as currency. We've always done that. Even at trade shows, we're one of the only brands that hands out thousands and thousands of cans. And that's how we believe that cans, you know, by getting cans in hands, that's something that is like the number one priority, because that's when people see other people drinking it. One thing I've always laughed about is that, and this happens at Taste of London, is if there's 30 people walking towards you, if the first person says no, the second person will say no, the third person will say no, the fourth person might say yes, and then the fifth person will say yes. And it's this like domino sheep mentality, where I've always said about no one wants to be the first and no one wants to be the last. And that's how we, you know, when I always sort of explain Can of Water as being very similar to like Apple versus BlackBerry. Like everyone had a BlackBerry. Everyone was obsessed with a BlackBerry. One day someone got an iPhone. You thought they were absolutely mental. You wondered like, why are you doing that? Blah, 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 blah. The next minute, everyone else is getting an iPhone. Then you get an iPhone. Where's BlackBerry today? And obviously I see the same mentality with not just with Can of Water, but brands, you know, going over to, you know, aluminium versus plastic. I think that events, trade shows, all these events have given us a platform to have that conversation.
Thank you. And just a word for the organisers of events, whether it be a trade show or a consumer show, a festival. I guess your relationship with them is important, right? You know, you want it to be a partnership and not just transactional. If you had some advice to them about best practice and how they should work with a brand like yourself, what would it be?
You've literally just said it. You've answered it. Is that one of the main things that I have always had an issue with is the difference between an actual partnership and just a transactional, you know, thing. And I think that's an issue. And what I've always had big issues with as well is that people who say that they care about sustainability, but then they will take a chunk of money from Coca-Cola, is I think these brands have to reevaluate their values. And that's something that when we speak about places like London Fashion Week, and Selfridges were a big one for us in the early days, you know, a lot of these brands, they removed plastic and they haven't gone back to plastic. Like Selfridges has not gone back to plastic bottles. They've remained plastic free on their shelf. And I have the utmost respect for that, because they knew that they were going to lose margin from plastic, from not selling plastic and moving to more recyclable alternatives. But they took the view as a business that that's what they're going to do and they're not going to go back. And that is a business that I respect. The businesses that I don't respect are the ones that basically say that they care about sustainability, they want to go plastic free, they're not willing to sort of not even spend a bit more, but they're not willing to sort of
compromise.
Not willing to compromise. And then they just go straight back to plastic. And I think that that is something where you're only using sustainability as a marketing tool rather than doing better for the planet. And I think that we are in a place now where businesses are becoming more sustainable, obviously, as we know, hence the growth of Cannon Water and the sustainability market. But it's these brands and these businesses that the planet relies on to do good. So they teach the consumer, because a lot of people have a different view on this. I don't believe that it is the consumer's responsibility. I don't think that I think that if we put it all on the consumer, nothing will ever change. We live in a world of convenience where half of the time the consumer's being lied to and doesn't even know that they're doing something wrong.
Sure.
You know, if the consumer thinks that they're putting the rubbish in the right bin and they think that that's it, but the truth is it's not going to the right place. Yeah. It's going into landfill. So I think that these events need to basically, yeah, they need to practice what they preach. Yeah. And I think that that's my thing. So my thing to one of the main things that I look at is this brand a brand that actually cares, or is this a brand that just sort of wants our money and is coming to us because they see us as this huge organization that we're not? And these are the things that you can get very, you know, I have literally seen businesses go into liquidation because they thought that they basically put all their effort into all the opportunity that came into them. And the truth is that what happened is that they did this event or they went into this retailer and it didn't do anything for their brand because their values didn't line up. And after a while, they just, you know, sure, the consumer knows nothing about them. And I think that what we try and do is we try our best to make sure that when we do an event, people understand why Cannon Water is there. And it doesn't just go over their head, because you could be at any event and unless the consumer knows why you're there. So we do a good job in making sure, and we can't do the best job ever because we don't have the money to educate everyone, but we do try our best to make sure that people know that when they have a can of water, that is because it's better than a plastic bottle.
Sure. Thank you.
You are listening to The Dan Assell Show, inspiring and insightful conversations with event professionals. The Dan Assell Show's official venue sponsor is conference and exhibition venue Business Design Center, which has just become B Corp certified, showing its high standards of social and environmental impact. For more information, visit businessdesigncenter.co.uk. Be notified first about new episodes by following me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify platforms, and by subscribing to my YouTube channel. Search Dan Assell.
I just want to turn to sort of social media and digital marketing activity and sort of how you use that and whether it's intentional. We spoke about, you know, you're going to get people that go there and post up their own pictures and videos, which you can't necessarily, you know, manage. How do you amplify your presence at events through socials?
So it's twofold. There's an organic approach and then there's a paid approach. The organic approach is, you know, we will have videographers, photographers at the events, not all of them, but the bigger ones that we do and the ones that we think are, like, you know, are worthy of us pushing out there and that have sort of shown us that they value the brand and the product. One of the things that I've always found difficult is getting content from events. A lot of the time you can just send cans to an event and it costs you, you know, you provide the cans, you send the cans get there, they're sitting there, they're not being represented right, they're not being taken out of the packaging. There's, you know, you see pictures and there's just cases that have just been shoved in the corner. You know, that's something that we've worked hard and we make it very, very clear to people that is, we will not be doing this if that's the case.
Yep.
You have to represent it right. It has to be shown right. The cans have got to be sort of, you know, forward facing, etc. Tools that my colleague Imi sort of, you know, goes out to people and very much sort of puts the, I guess, puts the rules out there and makes sure that, you know, if we're going to do this, this is what we're going to do. But social media is in the like top three biggest priorities of Canna Water, because that's how, as a small brand, we can amplify. You know, we can't do adverts, TV adverts yet. We can't do huge national awareness campaigns. But what we can do is we can be different to every single water brand in the UK, which I believe that we are, where we try and inject, you know, a lot more energy than your average water brand that just basically just, it's very stale. There's no energy. It's just boring. We find that, you know, a lot of brands copy us because they're looking for, they haven't internally, they haven't got the ideas. And these are the things that are, you know, super important for a brand like Canna Water. We don't have the budget, but we've got the thinking tank in the office and the people behind the brand that are very much trying to do things differently. And I think that's at the heart of the brand. You know, our brand proposition has always been defy the norm to encourage change. So, you know, we're doing what all the other brands say that they do, encouraging change, even though a lot of them still sell millions of plastic bottles. But we defy the norm. We try and anything that that a normal brand does, we'll do completely the opposite in our own way. So we get that across via social media. So what some brands will do at events, where they'll just take a picture of someone, just literally just a static picture of someone dancing with their product, we will create a, like, you know, footage of the event. We'll do something different at the event. As an example, at the Hackney Marathon this year, we had a warped wall, which was basically a challenge, like ninja warrior style. We had to run up this wall. It was a very difficult challenge that for the people at the Hackney Marathon, you know, who are, you know, running a marathon and want to engulf themselves in a challenge. It was monstrous. It looked absolutely mental. Once you got to the top, if you got to the top, you could ring a bell and then climb down via a fireman's pole. You know, there was some really, really, you know, we inject energy in the things that we do, in the things we do. At Taste of London, which you saw, you know, we have this converted milk float with a photo booth on top and a DJ on top, DJing sort of R&B and hip hop music. And, you know, they're the things that stand out. And social media then becomes a lot more exciting for us, because we can post videos of things like that rather than just what other brands
do. Yeah, and you know, then for the people that are going to, you know, if you're creating something that's engaging and they're engaging with it, whilst you can't control what they're going to post, you know they're going to get involved, right? So there are ways.
Yeah, exactly.
There are tactics, exactly, I guess, of making sure that people, you know, immerse themselves in the experience, and you know they're going to take a photo or put it on Insta or Snapchat or whatever the other platforms the kids to use these days.
100%. And you know, that's hard. That's difficult for a young brand to get that. To get that pull. And it's, you know, it's something that we're still working very, very hard on.
Sure.
And, you know, we've just raised some money this year, and that's something that we're very much focusing on, is creating more sticky content and brand awareness.
Sure. Move on, talk about yourself and your journey with the business. Just got a few questions for you. As you said at the beginning, you've worn many hats, right? So you started the business, there were you and two friends, sort of founders, you were doing everything. I'm sure you still do lots. But you have this sort of lofty title now of global brand director. How have you adapted from, you know, being an owner founder to sort of over the years having to maybe have a more conventional role and position? You said you've just taken on money, obviously you've got a chief exec, so things have changed, right? How have you adapted to that? How have you found that experience?
I think it's difficult for any founder. Someone actually said that to me in my first year of Canna, which was, every year your job title will change at Canna, like in any business as a founder. And I've seen that. That's rife for my journey, and rife for a lot of, you know, and it's the same for a lot of founders. I think that there are two founders in the world. There's the founder that sort of that doesn't let the business grow because they are so sort of stuck in like being so controlling and not wanting anyone to come in and thinking that they're the best person to do the job in everything, and they're too involved. And then there's the founder that is, you know, that understands that they need to bring people in, and the only way to grow the business and to, you know, sort of make the ship move is and I guess is to bring in the right people and better people than yourself. I've always been of the opinion that I am not God's gift, and I'm not great at everything, and I know what my strengths and my weaknesses are. But at the same time, on the second founder piece, you can't step too far away, because you need to make sure that the DNA of the business and that the brand not only is represented right from a, you know, for us from a creative standpoint, but also that one of my biggest fears is I never want to become a corporate, you know, especially in the first, sure, you know, especially now, I never want to do corporate things, because then we just are the same as every other brand. And that's something that me coming into this role that I'm in now is something that I'm incredibly passionate about, making sure that the culture and the way that we do things here are very much kept to the same thing, the same way that we did it when we first started, when every single person told us that Canna Water, we're in too much of a saturated market and Canna Water will not be around in the next 3 years. The reason it's around now is because of the things that we did in the first 3 to 4 years, which was very much, we stood out, we were different. So I think that it's very, very difficult as a founder to accept that you've got to go from here to here to here. But on the positive side, that's how a business grows, you know. And I think that this is my first business. I started this at 22 years old. That's when the idea sort of came about. And if I look at the person I am today to the person I was then, I've grown from learning from, you know, from our mistakes, and also from the great people that have joined the team.
Yeah. Do you miss the days when it was just sort of three mates with an idea?
Do I miss the days? I think that I miss the hustle and bustle of it, because I think that you don't have a lot to worry about.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you just, at 22 years old, I had no responsibility. Yeah. I was lost as it is. So there was only one way, you know. And I think that the truth is that the hustle and bustle was fun, where we basically would go and do X, Y, and Z. But in all honesty, what I learned very, very quickly is that we were having fun and we were doing some really cool stuff, but the business wasn't necessarily, it wasn't necessarily going anywhere. Yeah. It was only when we started to sort of hire the right people and bring it that we started to actually, because we had very, very little experience. I don't know if you know this, but I actually had a failed business at 19 years old. I had a huge events company in the UK that was in business of some huge grime artists. We were putting 5,000 to 7,000 people in venues every few months. We were absolutely smashing it. It was an under 18 events company in the UK. Yeah. We became very, very sort of familiar within that market, you know, had data capture of, you know, arguably, you know, quite a few million people. But overnight, the under 18s market basically collapsed. And that was my first failure. And I think when I started Canna Water, I think that I had experienced, it was great that I had experienced that failure. But one of the things that I learned from that business was we didn't have great people running it. We were all just kids and it was sort of like a pirate ship. Whereas with Canna Water, you know, we weren't going to let that happen. So I think that teamwork between team and founders, you're unstoppable. But as soon as the team think that they're better than the founders and the founders think they're better than the team, it's just, it will never work. Yeah. It just can't work like that. It has to be teamwork.
If you had the opportunity to call Josh up from 8 years ago, what advice would you offer him, given what you know now?
I think to not worry a lot. You know, I think that as a kid, I worried so much about things that I couldn't control. And there's this, it's the fear analogy. What is it? It's a false evidence appearing real. Like I would create things in my head that never even happened. Yeah. And I think that one of the things as well, I experienced enormous burnout in the first sort of 5 years, and I didn't concentrate on me at all. And I basically just ended up every few months having, you know, serious like depression or anxiety. And what building a team has enabled me to do a little bit is concentrate a little bit more on me as well, which is something that, you know, you will never get the best version of me if I'm not me, basically. And I think that the first 4 or 5 years were just, and one of the main reasons Kano even exists to this day is because the things that we did and the lengths that we went through, like we would be up at 3 a.m. and we'd be we'd be driving to with like 1 hour sleep, and we would be going from here to here to here, and we would do sampling, and as soon as we finished sampling we'd drive up to Manchester, and our wholesalers wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't order a full pallet load from us. They would only order like a few cases, and we would have to drive it all across the country to just make the business work. And to it, we had to fake everything to make it. And I look back at that side, I wouldn't say that I miss it, but I'm really glad that I did it.
Yeah.
Because I think that in life, if you go around saying that you did X, Y, and Z, but actually people did it for you.
Sure.
I don't believe that you've got the full, you know, you've got the full package or the full experience. And I think that one thing that I can safely say is that the three of us built everything ourselves in the early days. And the reason we are where we are today is because we didn't get people to do it for us. Because I've seen a very, very large brand grow in the UK and completely fall because they basically, one of the things that they did is that the founders basically just got everyone else to do everything for them.
Yeah.
And then you just lose yourself.
Sure. What was that one moment where you thought, look what we've achieved, sort of a pinch me moment?
It happens every single day. And I get asked this question a lot of the time, like, you know, last week there was a video of Billie Eilish holding a can.
Yeah.
I've get sent pictures every week of like some of the biggest celebrities in the world holding a can of water. I think that it's actually funny. The best thing for me and this feeling, like seeing celebrities holding can of water, it's sort of for me, every time I see it, I don't get this, like, I get excited, but I'm like, oh, it's another one. Yeah. The thing that actually gets me more excited, and whenever I go to London, I see it, is when a normal human being, no celebrity, no one that we've asked, no one that is a friend of the brand, is walking around with a can of water. Like, that is a feeling that inside of me just is, it's a really, really special feeling. And there's no feeling like it. I was in town recently and there was people, and I never tell anyone who I am, but there was one time recently where I just said to someone, like, oh, I love that brand. Where did you get it from? And I like to know where they got it from. And I never want to be that guy that sort of says this, I'm that, because I've always found that a little bit distasteful. But there's something really special about seeing people in the wild with your brand. Yeah.
And finally, Josh, what continues to motivate you? You know, it's been 8 years. You've gone through the journey. You've launched it. You've spoken about the times where, you know, you were up through the night making deliveries. You're at festivals. What motivates you now to continue with the business?
The team that we've got here, is on the same mission as we, as the three of us were. I think the thing that drives me the most is I don't think that the brand's even started. I think that, you know, we are very much still, you know, we've grown so rapidly, but there's still so much to accomplish, and we're still learning. Remember, I think that what a lot of people don't realize is that we've created this category. Like, we made this category. Yeah. No one else made it. All of these other brands in the market, they are coming into the category that we created. And I think that what motivates me is that we're the pioneers of this, and we need to make sure that, I guess, that it's done right and that it actually, one, sort of succeeds and we keep pushing the message. But, you know, Cannon Water should be around in the next, can be around in the next 100 years. Like, it should be. I probably won't be here in 100 years. But, you know, the thing that motivates me enormously as well is I want to be walking around, please God, one day with my kids, my grandkids, and saying that, you know, the reason people are drinking out of a can is because I was part of that movement. Or maybe even not cans. Maybe there's another solution in the future that is better than cans. But essentially, the reason people are doing this is because three friends with no experience saw a problem and believed that there was a solution out there.
Fantastic. Great answer. Josh, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Dan.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. The Dan Assel Show is grateful for the support of headline sponsor Jonas Event Technology, venue sponsor Business Design Centre, and event industry supporters TF Connect, Tarsus Group, Terrapin, and 19 Group. Be notified first about new episodes by following me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify platforms, and by subscribing to my YouTube channel. Search Dan Assel.